Hey guys, welcome to the Crypto Sparta podcast. We're doing it on a Thursday this week as I'll be flying out of town, but we're just going to jump into it real quick and go straight in the markets. We actually got a lot of topics to talk about. So where are we at, Brian?
Yeah, it's been a, you know, drama-filled week. Like right after our podcast last week, you know, market tanked from, you know, that 3,300 number.
Under three.
Yeah, I went down to the at the lowest.
I was getting on people, be like, "Yo, it's under three." Like
on Wednesday, yeah, on Wednesday it was at 2,600.
26?
Yeah, it dropped to 26, but it's like bouncing back to over 3,000 now. Bitcoin also, you know, tanked a little bit. It dropped below 40,000.
Have you heard anything about the funding?
Funding for what?
We've talked about this idea before, but the idea that there's people who leverage trade short and long. And then the idea that if there's net short or long, then it'll be positive or negative funding. So if there are more people betting to short Bitcoin and want to borrow to short it, then the people who are borrowing to long Bitcoin end up lending like it's more expensive to short if everybody's trying to short. And then that kind of tells the market sentiment where it's like, okay, the leverage traders, like if it's really negative or really positive, because like when the bull runs happen and then it's like everybody is taking out max leverage, then for that leverage, the interest gets higher.
Yeah.
And then if everybody's short, then the interest is high for the people trying to borrow like Bitcoin.
Yeah, so definitely there is a mystery to like why this happened. Like I know there's a lot of Evergrande news with over in China and how they accumulated like a whole bunch of debt. But you know, Evergrande, a little bit on Evergrande is that it's like the second largest
property developer,
and they've expanded to all these like different branches, like electronics or like, you know, food. Or
I heard that the electronic company is no longer to be paying their debts.
Yeah, so they just amassed all this debt to invest. They, you know, were incentivized to, you know, innovate at, you know, whatever cost by the Chinese government, you know, taking, you know, a bunch of loans, trying to expand to different areas of their business. Expanding between real estate. So that, you know, we mentioned before, like they had electronic system, you know, grocery stores or like.
Well, and the thing is though, the contagion is then tied. Who did they borrow money from? And it's foreign investors as well as local Chinese banks. And so then there's like some banks that might not have enough money, or there are like some investment firms that are not going to get their money back, and it's going to screw up their balance sheets. And then it's like, is it going to be a domino effect with chain defaults?
Yeah. So they're in so much debt. They're trying to sell. No one wants to buy their businesses. And so there's a lot of speculation that, you know, this was the main reason for the crash, because both the stock market and the crypto market tanked, you know, humongously. Like the Dow also had, you know, such a bad day.
I mean, Monday was like 5-10% down.
Yeah, it was
bad. Which erases like months of gains.
It was bad, but you know, a lot of people speculated that this has been going on for, you know, months. Like this is not nothing new. And you know, it's just because people want to put eyes on it now, and that it's not that big of a deal. But yeah, so and then the Chinese government is probably just gonna bail them out anyways. Like no way they will let this you know, continue to happen, because it like makes them look weak and that kind of like posturing and all that kind of stuff. And so yeah, so I mean there's all these different hypotheticals of why the market had like took a huge dip after like, you know, months of gains.
The thing that you can look at though, and I think it's going to be one of our main topics today, is that like there are still winners in the market. And so it's not like a market-wide crash for crypto, because it is like relative lows, but it's not like a crash like the 44 to like whatever it was.
It's always higher lows from this point, because but
like certain things are still like on AVAX. So Avalanche is testing all time highs, like a lot of the stuff on it.
Yeah, a lot of volume is going through Avalanche right now. Like their TVL or like their total value is just going up. There's just a lot of users right now. They got that new investment they announced. They got like $250 million in investments from Three Arrows, and which is a big crypto venture fund by Suzu, and then other CMS too that are big in the crypto space. So,
but I mean, in terms of like other things in the market, most things in general have been down, but it seems like there's been a bounce kind of like yesterday, didn't you say?
Yeah. So definitely we hit our all-time lows, and then everything is kind of bouncing back. Like last, like usually midnight, things usually bounce, or the next day goes, and like things have, it's been pretty green this past couple of days. So we had like middle of the week, everyone was pretty bearish. Like, oh, you know, the super cycle is a joke. It's done.
Get your job application.
Yeah, out. We're going to McDonald's. It's just like so crazy how fast the sentiment turns from red to green or green.
I mean,
to
a
red.
Lot of people have been really worried about the Evergrande stuff. And I mean,
well, China, they just announced that China bailed them out. Like they're
bailing out chunks of it, at least for
like
sure.
20 billion invested or to bail out. Yeah, but China, yeah, this is I don't know how they're saying this company Evergrande was basically has tentacles in everything China. So like if this failed, it would have huge ramifications. You know, China has an impact on the global scale. So yeah, it's crazy that, you know, this market is unpredictable and crazy, and that's why we're interested in it.
Yeah, and I mean overall also NFT market took a pretty big dip in general as well, with a lot of capitulation. I saw some of the big names, like I think it was Keyboard Monkey or Jeebus. It's being like, whoa, I was overexposed in NFTs and I should have taken profits. Like they're keeping their blue chips, but it's like, and if you look at some of these big NFT collectors, it is wild how many NFTs they have.
Yeah, and people like just send
thousands.
Them
thousands. Yeah,
people just send it to them like their wallet. And like, you know, this is also something to touch out too, like people are scamming people by sending them like malware infested NFTs.
Yeah,
so it's like, it's not like you got to be careful. Like,
yeah, who you interact with. I'm like, I don't know how it got there.
Yeah,
I don't want to get rid of it. It's like in open seas. It's my spookies. I don't know what that's from.
Yeah. So like people there's a lot of stories now that like people are interacting with them. NFTs that they received or try to sell the ones that they received. And it's ended up being like a malware and they got their whole wallet hacked.
I saw somebody got like 2 Bored Apes taken from them.
Yeah, so
very, it's weird because you can track it and you tell everybody like these are stolen, don't buy from this person.
I think it's a lot of phishing because this person that tweeted that he got his OpenSea account hacked is that it said that he got an email confirmation that he got this bid, you know, from OpenSea technically.
Yeah,
and then he clicked it through the, you know, website to, you know, click to view bid or whatnot. And I think he got phished that way because the transaction never showed up on OpenSea or showed up. So that, like, that's why I honestly, if I get a bid, I go to OpenSea itself and then view it.
Yeah.
And I don't click on the email.
Smart.
But
I mean, if we're talking about NFTs though, do you want to talk about today there was a big drop.
There's a lot of partnerships from all these different, a lot of mainstream people announcing NFTs.
The Time Magazine screwed up their drop.
I don't think they screwed up.
They did. Somebody was minting 10 at a time.
Well, that's what they set the max. You can max 10 at a time.
Oh, that was
so people just max. Well, I think there was a consulting error, like, oh, will this clog up the network? Like, how many can we mint at a time? Because some of them do like 2, some do 5. And then, you know, some people do.
I've been talking with a noob about the ways that the Sneaky Vampire Syndicate did theirs. And there's a way where you do batches and you hand out code words and then you give like a deadline for when you can mint it. Like the Pudgy Penguins, it was like, okay, if you have a penguin already and then you
they can gave you a timeline. Days. Yeah.
But yeah, like all these corporations just are being, they're aping into the NFT
they're new
stuff.
To it. Like you now it's like Tops who do like baseball cards and that kind of stuff. They have an NFT division and they're partnering with AVAX to do their thing. And so you see all these like mainstream entities, Tiger Woods announcing that he's doing an NFT collection. This Time one is actually like pretty cool. They're highlighting different artists like in 4,600 NFTs total of 37 unique artworks.
Yeah, that's probably... But it was 0.1 to mint, but the gas was insane.
So everyone,
and then
yeah.
The floor before the reveal when I was up this morning was 3.5 ETH. And like, what's the floor now? 1.5?
Now it's at 1.58. So, I mean, if you look on the NFT.time, you know, website or just Google Time NFT or Time Magazine NFTs, like, you know, these artists are really like cool. And I think like having Time's stamp on it, it's been like, you know, a hallmark of, you know,
I feel like the corporations,
history journalism.
The corporations are picking Ethereum too. That's one of the things. Like, if you're looking,
well,
at
that's
doing
the most mainstream.
Exactly.
OpenSea operates on.
Yeah, exactly.
Ethereum. I think OpenSea has a huge first mover advantage, as far as like having a marketplace for it's like becoming a household name, just like eBay or other marketplace, Amazon.
But I mean, there are going to be competition. There's SoulSea, there's Rarible. And
no
I feel
doubt.
Like a lot of people have complaints about OpenSea, but it's like similar with MetaMask where it's like,
yeah, the security is not good.
I'm stuck in this though. Like, I'm just like, am I really, I don't want to, you just get tired of it, especially with all the crypto stuff. I mean, this kind of leaks into the AVAX where it's like
an Arbitrum.
Yeah, exactly. An Arbitrum bridging.
There's so many of these really good second layer, you know, blockchains that you'd want to play around with, or like there are opportunities to make money, but it's getting like kind of tough to, you know, play around in
you
all
get
these
stretched thin. And then if you have like,
yeah,
I mean, America is like relatively rich in the whole world. And it's, I work with people in India. They have like no chance to participate in crypto because of the fees.
It's definitely like really expensive now.
Yeah.
Like you need to have a good amount of their native token because everything runs on that ecosystem runs on that, you know, token.
I mean, it costs something to bridge to Avalanche and then it costs
on
Avalanche to get other pieces. But
do
it's
they
like,
charge you, you know, ETH fee
to
you
bridge.
Know, a bridge initially?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough. Like I had this thing too where I had to allow my Uniswap wallet to interact with wrapped ETH to convert it, you know, to whatever.
It just
and
gets so far down the
that
road.
That was $25.
I have a feeling this stuff that we're talking about, and I've heard people that have been like, yeah, I listened to the podcast a bit, but like you lost me. And I'm like, this is the pinnacle of losing people because it's like I understand the principles, but it loses me and I'm supposed to be the person trying this shit out.
Yeah,
and it's just like,
sorry guys.
Man, really? Like, I've got to like learn how to and spend money. Move.
It's
and
not
I,
as cheap
I bought,
anymore.
I bought.
But that's the main point.
I bought. Yeah, that's the. And this is one of the things I was telling one of my clients where it's like, so I opened up an OKCoin account when AVAX was 60 like months ago. And
where,
now it's back above 60.
Where it wasn't on an exchange to buy, like a well-known
exchange.
There were
no exchanges in America, so you can't get AVAX. It's like,
but now it's
like
blowing up.
Like, yeah.
Now it's blowing
up. And everything on AVAX is blowing up. And it's like very convoluted to figure out. I mean, I don't know how to get my AVAX off that exchange onto AVAX.
For an AVAX wallet?
I don't. want to have to load up on ETH, because like I always keep a minimum amount of ETH. I just spend it on altcoins or NFTs. And then to be able to spend ETH to buy AVAX and then spend ETH to move AVAX and pay fees all the way along and then learn how to use AVAX and have enough money. I don't know.
Yeah, when we talk about fees, it's more like, you know, you click next on a payment confirmation, basically. Like you put in your billing address, next. Like that equates to, you know, allowing, you know, your wallet to interact with this contract. So that's like a next. And each time you click next on your, you know, payment confirmation, you get charged a fee, ETH fee. So that's where we're talking about, where it's like $20 each time to click next.
Yeah. But it's like also with AVAX. So there's Uniswap, SushiSwap, et cetera, on Ethereum. There's PancakeSwap on Binance. There's Trader Joe's on AVAX or Avalanche. AVAX is the ticker.
Yeah, the ticker.
AVAX is at all-time highs now.
Yeah,
so while the overall market is down, AVAX is up.
Yeah, at all-time highs.
All-time highs. And then Trader Joe's, its decentralized exchange, is also at all-time highs.
So we're seeing some examples of decoupling, right?
Exactly.
And that's like pretty optimistic that we're not like heavily reliant on Bitcoin.
Like the overall market sentiments, also the traditional stock market.
Yeah.
Like there are still things that are like,
it's based off fundamentals and like what the company is actually doing, not being so coupled to Ethereum or Bitcoin prices.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like one of the things that it says though is like, it's so weird because it's like there's still Bitcoin maximalism and Bitcoin dominance. And then people are like, when is ETH going to flip Bitcoin? And now it's like, okay, what's going to flip ETH?
Yeah, that's true.
And it's like, but Bitcoin is still king. And it's like, why are we living in this stupid world? Like, but then, I mean, now we can move to the Twitter announcements.
Yeah. So, you know, coming up Bitcoin, you know, Jack Dorsey was at the Bitcoin conference. We saw him at 11, you know, when Deadmau5 was performing. Like, he has that same tie-dye Bitcoin shirt. And he just announced that, like, you know, Bitcoin is the Lightning Network on Twitter. You can tip your favorite influencers in Bitcoin now.
Yeah.
And if you actually like update your app, your Twitter app,
from the ethots.
Yeah, if you download the new update for Twitter right now, if you have an iPhone at least, they will automatically, the interface will change and you can tip in Bitcoin using the Lightning Network.
I heard multiple things that it's gonna hurt. RIP Western Union.
Oh yeah,
they're gonna send Bitcoin through Twitter.
I mean, that was outdated.
RIP OnlyFans.
Yeah, that is OnlyFans.
That's the big thing because
that is
OnlyFans takes a chunk, but if you can just give Bitcoin to people,
that's like that's untrackable technically.
And you can just give Bitcoin to friends, and then you don't have to say what it's for or register with the government. This is actually huge news, and this is what people said, is that it's more bullish news than El Salvador.
Yeah, because you have you have like the network of the web. Like you don't have to pay a middleman for your whatever for whatever your membership posse for OnlyFans. And then porn has already been, crypto has already been used to pay for porn. We talked about this before where, you know, you like Visa companies have issues with porn, you know, paying for porn, you know, their ethical values and that kind of stuff. So they restricted that, but you can, you know, pay for a Pornhub membership, premium membership using crypto. And so just clearing out that middleman of the, you know, credit card company using Visa, having to deal with them. And, you know, everyone has, you know, $10, you know, if you're, you know, paying for Hulu or whatnot, like I'm sure you'll find 10 bucks to pay for porn. But like, yeah, so it just removes the middleman.
And then the thing is, it's going
to
be like
more efficient straight to the consumer.
Yeah. And then it's just going to be like, okay, all the all the transactions through Twitter are going to improve Twitter. And then what they're also saying is that what they're going to do is having Twitter verify OpenSea NFT ownership.
Yeah, yeah. So every time you post, like you see a influencer or an NFT project say, like, you know, try to promote, like, show me your Chino dinos or like, show me your Monas. Like, you can verify when you post in media if you have that NFT.
And it'll probably be integrated with OpenSea, which is also bullish for OpenSea.
Well, I think you need a chain like Oracle to verify that, you know, things are absolutely true. Decentralized truth. But yeah, that's bullish, man.
And then people are saying,
maybe buy some really Twitter stock. I don't know.
It's really bullish for NFT profile pictures.
Yeah, PFPs for sure.
PFPs are going to be, because now there's, and then they realize, no more right click and save. Yeah. No more right click save bullshit.
You can't make the joke that like I can just copy and paste your JPEG because.
And then like act like, and you can just LARP as a crypto
punk. Yeah, exactly.
If they have the check mark.
Yeah, and a majority of crypto Twitter, it's called crypto Twitter for a reason. Like, you know, it's not like on Instagram. There's no crypto Instagram. There's crypto Twitter, a huge part of the crypto community interacts with each other on crypto, on Twitter or Discord, but mostly on Twitter.
Yeah, so, it's where most of the info comes out, because it's like even though there's a lot of alpha and important info and communication on Discord and Telegram, Twitter is by far the most accessible. And then what they said is that it's still a fraction of the overall crypto like community, but it's the main venue for communication. Mainstream. Yeah,
because it connects with mainstream.
And like, you don't even need to actually pay anything or be in anything special. Like, it's insane.
You don't have to expose yourself.
People you have access to on crypto Twitter. You have people that have been doing it for years. You can track all of the things that they say. You can interact with them on spaces. I mean, I hated Twitter. I mean, I was Yang Gang Twitter for a while. And then I made my own crypto Twitter. And crypto Twitter is by far better than like politics Twitter. And I know that there are other like,
NBA Twitter is pretty funny too.
Brian likes NBA Twitter. That's like just not my thing.
It is funny. I mean, there's dunks over people. People have memes. Like, it's great. It's great comedy. But yeah, so Twitter, pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're saying, is it's like the start of the metaverse. I mean, and it almost makes sense that the start of the metaverse should happen on Twitter. Because it's like, at some point, the things are going to conjoin. Corporations and Twitter and social media and NFTs and the metaverse and crypto. And I mean, now,
but is it,
you pay in Bitcoin, your profile picture is an NFT.
But is it like bad that, you know, Twitter is the corporation that rules us all?
It is. Like, I don't like their censorship. I think that they have like, their algorithms are shady. I saw a meme about the algorithms, and it's just like,
but they're all like, if we think the way the world is going, like Twitter is in prime position of, you know,
they are
putting their tentacles into.
But I mean, on the flip side, damage. You can also talk about Telegram and like privacy stuff and like. I think that it'll just be real weird, because there's going to be this like final line in the sand where it's like, RVP. Okay, exactly. Yeah, no, but also our government's like going to let us use VPNs to protect our privacy, or are they going to be monitoring us? And their phones are, the NSA probably is listening to this shit right now.
I want to monetize my data and NSA. I want to monetize my data.
Yeah.
Same with attention token. RVP, like, you know, social network. RVP. Or what's that social one?
Big Cloud,
yeah. So like,
you know, monetizing your time, attention.
You digitize yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's crazy the way there's a lot of mainstream news going on. And so, you know, with all this crypto attention, this law, you see a lot of the, you know, U.S. government, you know, trying to get their voices on Twitter or opinions on crypto out there. You know, you had last, or we talked about this last week, how, you know, the CEO of Coinbase, or, you know, Brian Armstrong of Coinbase, was talking about the SEC's, you know, unwillingness to work with them over, you know, their lending product, which is basically, you know, what people do to earn interest. And so it's crazy. And, you know, especially with this infrastructure bill, we had Gary Gensler. He had this huge talk about, you know, what his opinions on cryptocurrencies. And he just really, you know, had these sound bites that were pretty, you know, adverse to Twitter, I'd say. Like, he referred to, you know, cryptocurrencies as wildcat banking back in like the 1860s.
Ridiculous.
Like, and I had to look up
about it. Yeah,
I had to look up on Wikipedia just to like give the listeners, you know, some background. Basically, it was just like a issuance of paper currency by like poorly capitalized state chartered banks before like there was federal banking regulation in the U.S. And basically, they, you know, just poorly affected regulation and just became nothing, like paper, just paper. And so he definitely like.
So one of the things that my client had said, though, that I talked with Brian about that really just irritates me is that, like, people ask, you know, there's one thing to like say on a piece of paper that this like randoming bandit warlord says you have money. But then it, like, the guy was like, all right, if I invest in crypto, like, is it real? And I'm like, these are technologies that are being used that are improving the world. And if instead of having it be a crypto, it was a company, people wouldn't think twice. And so, I mean, Gensler comparing it to, like, you know, like, basically like IOUs written in the fucking Wild West. Like,
I am 12.
You can see. Yeah.
I am 12. Like, just reminds me of Betchwarmers, where you're having that birth certificate. And like Gary Gensler, like, I thought he was supposed to be good for crypto. He taught classes at MIT. Now we know that means nothing.
Right. I mean, he doesn't seem, and yeah, it was really,
and it was really cringe. Patronizing.
Yeah.
It was cringe because he had this video, and it was like, you know, trying to get college students to, you know, save their money. And it was like, when you're thinking of buying that avocado toast or cooking at home, if you could just save that money, you can put it in a banking account and or invest in the stock market and get 8%. And then if you kept that, that would be 130,000 by the time you're 65.
I mean, the memes were great.
Oh my God. It was so, just so cringe.
It was really bad. And it was just like,
it's like you put it in the bank, you get not even 0.1%
with inflation going, and then like
6% per year.
Cool, $130,000 when I'm 65, I'll be able to get like
a McDonald's Happy Meal.
Yeah,
like you get like, where in the stock market you're getting 8% nowadays? Like, even that, like, there's a lot of like TikTok, Instagram reels about investing in the S&P 500. And it was funny where it was like, I saw a tweet where it was like, S&P at best gets 5 to 6%. And that was, you know, during World War II, Great Depression, that kind of stuff. Or, you know, and by now we already have like 10% inflation or 6% inflation, where it's like, that's not even great.
No, that's like with like the numbers being massaged by the government.
Exactly.
Like, if you avoid meat, cheese, if you avoid basic staples.
Yeah, you can live on $600 a month.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, it was funny. The memes were coming out where it was like, you can hold cash and lose 6% per year in inflation, or buy 10-year treasury and lose 4.7% per year. Much wow. Thank you for excellent tips, sir. Kind sir.
No, and there's like the meme of like the girl being like, I bet he's thinking about other, it's like the two people in the bed. And like,
yeah.
To his face being like, oh, I'm going to protect them so hard.
Yeah, he's really protecting, like, free money is bad. Yeah. Like, airdrops are bad.
Yeah. The one where there's the guy with all the knives flying and, like, yeah. protecting. It's like the knives are just like,
I'll protect you.
Six-figure airdrops. Yeah. Like, financial freedom. Lending to decentralized finance to, like, make higher returns. Like,
yeah, there's actually nowhere you can get 8% per year. Like, unless you're investing crypto, stable coins.
And legit, like...
Like, Celsius does 9%. Yeah. You know, if you do the Erzo lending platform, that's like 30%.
The crazy thing is, what it really relates to, and this is what they say, that Gensler and all, like, the people on Capitol Hill are just, like, funded by Wall Street. This is, like, a really interesting angle that I thought about and had briefly heard about where, okay... The government allows predatory lending in the housing market as well as with credit cards. So decentralized finance gives better terms for the same people taking out credit card debt at exorbitant rates, 23%. Okay, but instead of having it be Visa or MasterCard getting the percentage on the other side, it's consumers. So they're basically preventing us from becoming personal Visa MasterCards through these decentralized platforms. So it's like, yo, dude,
they know,
don't take out a 15% loan on crypto. Use your credit card for 23.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
They want us to continue to use the middleman.
They don't want you to win.
Yeah, they don't. They want to keep you poor. They want to keep you poor. Like, they want to make it really hard to gain their level. So,
hey man, we got a business dinner about some NFTs.
Yeah.
So we got to do some shills real quick.
I don't even, like I said, it's hard to do shills right now, but I would just invest, you know, in one of your L1, you know, or layer two blockchains, Avalanche, Solana, or, you know, one of the main ones, or, you know, try to bridge to Arbitrum. Arbitrum is kind of nice because it doesn't have a native token.
To incentivize people, there's all sorts of these funds to like bring people over where they're giving APY just to like get people to use it.
Each one has like, each blockchain has like their own little ecosystem that you can play around with. Like they have like their own version of like, you know, Uniswap or like how they farm. And yeah, I just choose one, and you know, Solana is maybe more of on a dip than Avalanche. Avalanche is kind of bopping right now. Or, you know, just Google tutorials on Arbitrum, because like I think bridging is fairly easy. I have to learn that myself pretty soon. But apparently it's just a button that you need to click on their Arbiscan, which is their similar of their Etherscan. So that's my show of the week.
I have an interesting one. It's a bit like unique. So I've been watching the NFT markets, and there are all of these custom profile pictures. There are people that if you have a pudgy penguin, what they'll do is they'll create a custom penguin to your specifications. And then there's another artist that, has taken pudgy penguins and then takes the same traits of the penguin and then like puts them to look like kittens in a dish of ice cream.
Kind of like cup cats.
Yeah. No, it's like cup cats, but it's like, not. It's like unique. And so what they're doing is like, okay, you have that penguin. There's another one for sneaky vampires that Nuke told me about, where if you own the sneaky vampire, this one artist will create a bat companion for 0.15 ETH. And then she's selling them like hotcakes.
It's kind of like a
derivative.
It's like a tree. You know, yep. if you and you can advance your PFT or PFP to look however you want through that tree. Like, you know, you can decision tree where you choose, yeah, I want a bat companion. Oh, you have to pay 0.15 ETH.
But there's no gateway to entry if you have a friend who's an artist and people want me to now do their NFT projects for them who are artists, because artists aren't very tech savvy.
Yeah.
Get your artists to, instead of focusing on their own work, which is tough because every artist wants to like be recognized for their original shit. But there's a huge market for people saying, hey, I want a custom Wasi.
Yeah.
I want a custom penguin. Can you take my Bored Ape? And then there's like additional things where there are people who are merging their NFTs. So for instance,
Fusions.
Yeah, Jeebus, I think, or maybe it was Keyboard Monkey, has a penguin and a squiggle. And then someone creates an NFT with both the penguin and the squiggle in it. Wow. Or you take the Fidenza that they own and put it as the background. So there's all these opportunities where there are people looking to create like, remixing. It's like chopping screwed.
But I wonder.
It's like taking a DJ and doing like a.
A remix. But I wonder if like you could, like if there's security issues, like to prove that remix is a, you know, from that artist, you know, but you would need to have the actual like access to the Fidenza, which could be access to someone's wallet. You can't just send them a picture of it.
On the one hand, I agree with you, but on the other hand, savvy enough people would be like, you're LARPing.
Yeah.
And like, it would be so cringe and embarrassing to be like, oh yeah, you put a Fidenza behind your lazy lion, but you don't own that Fidenza. Like, cringe, bro.
But wouldn't you be worried about, like, let's say you DMCA thought, or no, the artist, like, jacking your artwork? Like, because they have to
use... artist and they're being upset or something? Wait, what do you mean?
Well, I'm saying, like, you give them access to your wallet or whatever you're...
No, you don't give them access to your wallet. You just send them a JPEG and then they... Because the interesting thing to me is that there's going to be in the future. Because with our NFT project, we're thinking of doing honorary NFTs. And a lot of these, there's honorary NFTs that are minted like Bored Ape. But there are these artists doing these artworks and it's like, you can mint them or not. It's not necessarily a part of a collection. Because actually, people don't even care if it's an NFT because they don't necessarily have the significance. And if it's customized for you, if you have a customized Etheria Chan Pudgy Penguin, who's going to want to buy it from you? And do you even have to mint it? The main point of it is getting a commissioned piece of art to then have as your profile picture. Because you want, there's only so many Pudgy Penguins and they have basic rarity traits, but you want a custom one based off of what you think your avatar should look like. And this is my whole show. People, especially with this NFT stuff, especially with this Twitter stuff, they are going to want one of one customized NFTs of large projects that are tailored specifically, that are more detailed. Because, I mean, Bored Apes is pretty artistic and stuff. The Pudgy Penguins, I'd say, are a bit more like basic and like, Lazy Lion, same stuff. Every of these projects has like similar basic traits of the 10,000 to make it cohesive and like easily understandable. But if you're Loom Dart, you get a custom blueberry looking, you know, it has to do with blue. If you're Kobe, you always get exactly certain things. And so it's like, there will be a demand for these. So find an artist.
And if they like it, they'll put it as their profile.
And that's huge promotion.
Because
at the moment, the honorary NFT and the customized NFT marketplace, I think, is way undersaturated. It's going to explode.
Now, what this kind of reminds me of is like when you go to like Valley Fair, or like a carnival, and then they have that, you know, artist who does like the big head, like the graffiti or like the spray paint of your head.
Yeah.
You know, and paints a picture for you in the spray paint.
Yep.
Like, that's basically like what the PFPs. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I talked with a couple artists and they're like, these are easy. And I'm like,
yeah,
well, look at how much they're getting paid to do them.
Yeah.
And then when the wasification or whatever happened, like wasi infestation, it was like everybody wanted one. And then there's what, 2-3 people doing them.
Yeah. And then you had like the, like even the Federal Reserve or Unfederal Reserve, the Urzo guys, shout out to Noir Vermouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he was doing those, and then check out his, NFT collection, Penguin Fight Club.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Let's wrap it up. Moves, but
thanks for listening.
Yep. Be back and next week.
That was episode 22. Peace.